Daf Yud Amud Aleph, 11 lines down from the top, and you'll see the lines get a little wider. It's not the widest lines, the second of the wide lines. Amale Hahut Stuki Libruya. In the previous Gemara, we had a discussion between Bruria and her husband Rabbi Meir about Yitamu Chatoim, and let's just add one last piece. When Bruria said to her husband that he should be mispal, that these people, these difficult people of Yigmat Sarim should do tshuva, it looks like, at the face of it, a violation of the principle HaKol Bidei Shamayim Chutz MiYirah Shamayim. And Yirah Shamayim is given over to a person. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through tefillah, intervene? However, that principle is related to what we call Yiras HaRomimus. When a person comes with his logic and his bonenus, then we say that he has to work on his own, he has to sweat and toil, and that's called Chutz MiYiras Shamayim. But as far as onish is concerned, that a person should look at others and learn from others and see the lekach of onshim acherim, that could come through Shamayim, so that God could present a person with all sorts of situations that he has to face, in which clearly he would be able to do tshuva. Let's start the Gemara. Omar lo hahut stoki livruria. So there was a min or a tzoki that spoke to Bruria and asked him a kasha. Ksiv, it says in Yeshaya Perek Nun Dalet Rani v'akar lo yalada. So the word Rani sounds like a simcha, but then it says akara, that she's barren, shalo yalada, and she didn't have any children. That's what he asked her. Mishum de lo yalada, because she doesn't have children, Rani, she would be in the state of simcha. This doesn't make any sense. Now, I'm not sure exactly why he asked the kasha from the words lo yalada. He could have asked the kasha from the word akara. But in any event, the meaning is the same. Amro le, so she said to the tzduki, Shatya. Shatya means you're an idiot. Shapel is seife dekra. What you should do is fast forward to the end of this pasuk. Tichsiv, and it says at the end of the pasuk, Ki rabim b'nei shomema mi b'nei ba'ula amar Hashem. Now, we're going to take apart this pasuk. There's b'nei shomema, and there are the b'nei ba'ula. And this pasuk, then we'll get back to the rabbim, this pasuk is referring to the time of redemption. And rabbim b'nei shomema, this phrase b'nei shomema, is a reference to the citizens of Yerushalayim, because the citizens of Yerushalayim were in a state of desolation because of Churban. And yet, it says that they were rabim, they were greater in number than the Bnei Ba'ula. The Bnei Ba'ula is a reference, I believe, to the Romans, the Bnei Edom, who had brought about the Churban HaBayis. And now what we're saying is that there's ribui of Bnei Yerushalayim, a large number of Jewish people, and that's a reason for Simcha, because the number of Jews exceeded the number of the Bnei Edom. Now that seems to be very paradoxical, and furthermore, it doesn't even answer the original question, which is why she's called an Akara. So what Bruria says is that if you want to interpret this pasuk as a whole, let's focus on the last part of the pasuk. Elamai, what is the meaning of the last part of the pasuk? Akara lo yalada, and that is Rani Knesset Yisrael. It means that the Navi is talking to Knesset Yisrael, addressing her and saying, you should be in a state of simcha. Why? In other words, that we have larger numbers. What does that mean, we have larger numbers? It means we have larger numbers in the good place, which is heaven, and they have larger numbers than we do in Gehenna, in the bad place. So in a certain sense, we are called an Akara because our children, our descendants, are not destined for the future to go to Gehenna like they are. So in that sense, we have more of a greater population that's destined, that's headed for the good place, for the world to come, the eternal world, and they have more numbers that are destined for Gehenna. So that's the Rani, that's the Simcha. All right, let's go on. Amalei Ahu Tzdoki L'Rabbi Avo. So here's another confrontation between a Tzdoki and, in this case, Rabbi Avo. And he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. Now this pasuk is at the very beginning of Tehillim. It's in the, we'll see in our text, it's in the third chapter, but in the Gemara's text, it's actually in the second chapter. It says, Mizmor leDavid bibarcho mipnei Avshalom bino. Then David HaMelech is running away from Avshalom. Earlier, the Gemara says, why does it say Mizmor? Why is he singing a Mizmor? He should be lamenting. But that's not for us now. What the Gemara is bothered by, or I shouldn't say the Gemara, but the Tzduki is bothered by, is that Uksiv, and later on, it's going to say in a chapter, we're at, as we said, in chapter 2 of Tehillim, but later on in chapter 57, it says, L'David Michtam, it was written for David, B'barcho mipnei Shaul ba'ma'ara. So now, Shaul is a fugitive, running away from, I'm sorry, David is a fugitive, running away from Shaul. And hey, Maisa Havi Bereisha, but chronologically, things are out of sequence, because Michti Maisa Shaul Havi Bereisha. I mean, the story of Shaul and David is in David's youth. And the story of Avshalom is at the end of David's life, probably 50, 60 years later. So Lichto Bereisha, why is Tehillim organized in such a way that the story of David and Avshalom appears earlier in Sefer Tehillim? It should be postponed until later in Sefer Tehillim. Why is it out of sequence? Amalei Rabbi Avo responded, Atun Yutzdukim Delo Darshitun Smuchin. In other words, we have an insight into the Psukim in Tanakh, which is called Smuchim. And we have a tradition that goes beyond just the Torah Shebichsav, just the words of the Torah. You're stuck because you're just reading the words of the Tanakh. You don't have what we call smuchim, kashi luchu, and therefore you're left with this question. But Anan, we, the Jewish people, who are committed to the tradition, to Darshinon smuchim, we have the power of smuchim. We understand that we have to see things that are connected one to the other and interpret them, lo kashale, your question is no kasha. Now at this point, the Gemara takes a little bit of a digression and mentions this, the source for this concept, the reliance that we have on smuchim, the Omer Rabbi Yochanan, smuchim in HaTorah Minayin. Where do we see in Tanakh a clue that we rely on smuchim? Because against this principle of smuchim, we have another principle which is called Ein Mukdum Umucha BaTorah. So we're not always sure about the sequence. Shenema, Rabbi Yochanan says the basis for it is a pasuk in Tehillim in Perek Kuf Yud Aleph, and there it says, I'm going to add a few words, Nemonim Kol Pkudav Smuchim La'ad Li'olam Asuyim B'Emes V'Yoshar. In other words, whenever we see amongst the Pekudim of Hashem a certain smichus, so the Word of God has a certain contiguity, one pasuk after the other, that's B'Emes U'B'Yosha. That's something that's straight, and that's reliable, and it's true. Okay, now we get back on track. So now we're trying to answer the question, why is the story of David as a fugitive from Avshalom first, and only later the story of David running away from Shaul. So the Gemara says, and this is Rabbi Avo, Lama nismecha parshas Avshalom leparshas Gog u'Magog. In other words, if Avshalom in this Mizbar is the second chapter of Tehillim, let's fast forward to the third chapter, the next immediate chapter. And that chapter, which is called Lama Rogshu Goyim, is all about Gog u'Magog and the ultimate redemption from Gog u'Magog. Gog u'Magog represent those nations of the world that are going to stand up in rebellion against God, and they will ultimately be destroyed. And the Pasuk indicates here in Tehillim that they will gather together to fight against God and against His Mashiach. It says in the Pasuk, V'roznim nostu yachad, all these upheaval evildoers will gather together against God and against His Mashiach. And later on the Gemara is going to try to figure out what that means. But in any event, im yomar l'cha adam, when a person reads this prophecy about Gog u'Magog, he's going to wonder about it. Klum yesh evet shemored barabo? Is there such a thing as a servant who will stand up and rebel against his master? How could it be that human beings like Gog u'Magog, who are created by their master of the universe, will rise up in rebellion against the creator, against the master? We'll get back to this question in just a minute, but afata'om emarlo, if somebody asks that question, you should respond by saying klum yesh ben shemored bi'aviv. In other words, we find in Avshalom the case of a son who rebels against his very father, Elahava. So we see that such a thing exists, it's happened. Hachinami here too, Hava, it's an Eved that's married against his Rebbe, his master. And that's why David HaMelech presents this capital of Bibarcho Mipnei Avshalom first, because he wants to attach it to Gog u'Magog. Now let's ask two questions on this Gemara, just simple questions. First of all, what is this question that somebody's going to ask Klum yesh evet shemored barabo? We know that all of history is full of individuals, of human beings that rebel against God. In fact, Paro turns to Moshe and he says, Mi Hashem asher eshma b'kolo, who is God that I should listen to His voice? So he is ignoring God. So he's rebelling against God. And there are other people. But it seems that Gog u'Magog is a little bit different. Why? Because it says, Al Hashem v'al Mashicho. They were coming to battle not only against God, but also against the Mashiach. In the case of Paro, for example, we think that Paro had this philosophy that God created the world, but then he left and he allowed the world to go on its own. There's no providence. But here we're talking about a rebellion against God and against His Mashiach. I was thinking maybe this would answer another question. We find in the case of the Dor HaFlaga, they rebelled against God and they built the Tower of Babel. But again, it wasn't a rebellion against God and His Mashiach. Mashiach is the divine, you know, power or agency, the agent that brings about the successful reign of God in this world. But now we have to ask a different question. Okay, so the Tanakh was organized in this sequence in order to teach us the message that there is such a thing as a ben mored le'aviv, and therefore an eved who's mored barabo. Fine. But why then is the story of Shaul HaMelech left for such a later perek? Meaning, he could have easily organized the barcho mipnei Shaul HaMelech b'ma'ara as first, then gone on immediately to b'barcho mipnei Avshalom, and then to the chapter of Gog u'Magog. So the answer that I found here, in the name of the Marsha, is that David HaMelech wanted to begin Tehillim with the prophecy of the ultimate redemption, which is going to take place after Hashem destroys Gog Umagog. And therefore Gog Umagog had to be very early in the presentation of Tehillim. But in order to introduce Gog Umagog, so that the reader would not be surprised about the chutzpah of Gog Umagog to rise and rebel against God and his Mashiach, he started with the story of Avshalom. The story of Shaul is going to be delayed until its proper point in Tehillim. Again, that would require that we go through all of Tehillim and see exactly why in that particular chapter we learn about Shaul. Now, the Gemara has been quoting a lot of statements of Rabbi Yochanan. And now we're going to get to a series of statements of Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So before we had, for example, a drasha about Itamu Chatoim Min Ha'aretz, and the Gemara now wants to bring a drasha of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai on a pasuk in Mishle, which is Pia Pascha B'Chachma. Now let me just go back for just one moment to the pasuk of Itamu Chatoim Min Ha'aretz. That pasuk is in Sefer Tehillim, and now we're up to Mishle. So we have now a comment of Rav Shimon bar Yochai on a pasuk in Mishle, and we're going to see that this pasuk in Mishle, although it's Shlomo HaMelech, really relates back to his father David, the author of Tehillim. My dechsiv, pia pasuk b'chachma v'tzoras chesed al lishona. Now this entire chapter is a metaphor, a praise about the Torah. However, in this case, this particular pasuk stands out like a sore thumb. It cannot be referring to the Torah, because the Torah here is being described in a different way. Pia pascha v'chachma v'soras chesed al lishona. Now the word lishona is indicative of somebody who is speaking. And until now we've been describing the Torah as if the Torah was a third party. Now we're talking about some individual who has this description of Chachma and Torah's Chesed al Lishona. So the Gemara immediately asks, Keneged mi Amar Shlomo Mikrazeh? Shlomo apparently is referring to someone who has this Lashon of Pia Pascha B'Chachma. Lo Amaro Ela Keneged David Aviv. This is a reference to David HaMelech, his father. Shedar B'Chamisha Olamim. Now the word Olamim, which literally translates as worlds, in this context I think it means situations or scenarios. He lives in five different worlds of experience, if you will, because David HaMelech's life from the beginning until the end is one experience after the other. The Amar Shira, and in each case he speaks Lishona. Lishona in feminine is a reference to Shira, to songs of praise. So Shlomo HaMelech is talking about his father, and he's telling us that in five different situations during the life of David, he had this Ruach HaKodesh. He was, in a sense, enveloped or surrounded by Lishona, by the words that came from Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh, again, is in the female, in the feminine, and therefore he would open up his mouth with words of Shira, and he would speak about the chesed of Hashem, and all this during very different periods of time. And in five occasions, and we'll see this at the end of Sefer Tehillim, David is going to open up by saying, Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem. And five times over, this pasuk repeats itself during these last chapters of Tehillim, and every time the chapter opens with Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem. And each one of these five reflect the five occasions or the five periods of time in David's life when he sang Shira. The first Shira was Dar B'mei Imo, was while he was in a uteral stage, in utero, in other words, he's in a state of a fetus, in his mother's womb, the Amar Shira. Now again, I don't know if we have to interpret this literally. It could be that when David HaMelech was older and more mature, he sang a song about the fetus in its mother's womb. I don't know. But he's going to sing about the chesed, the great kindness of Hashem with him at the very beginning of his yetzira, that he was able to survive the fetal stage and be born with 2 feet on the ground and the power of breathing. Shenemar. So this is the first of 5 occasions where the kapitel in Tehillim starts Baruch Nafshias Hashem. Now, how do we know that this is referring to the fetal stage? It says V'chol Kravai Eshem Kodesho. The word Kravai means the insides. In this case, it's an allusion to the insides of his mother, of his mother's womb. Now we're up to the second Baruch Nafshi. Here, Yotza Liavir Olam. David is now born. And the first thing he does when he's born is Nistakel b'kochavim u'mazolos. He looks up at the heavens, the stars and the constellations, and he recites Shira. The stars and the constellations, according to the Gemara at the end of Masechta Shabbos, have some impact on a person's life. The astrologers believe that that the mazel has total control over a human being's life. We don't believe that. We believe that although the mazel gives man a certain propensity, a certain potential, a certain personality, but nevertheless, God is in control above the mazalos. The Omar Shira. Why? Shenemar Baruchu Hashem Malachov Gibore Koach Osei Dvaro Lishma V'Kol Dvaro Baruchu Hashem Kol Tzvakov. So the beginning of this pasuk describes the malachim, the mighty ones, that hear the voice of Hashem and they listen to what God has to say. They are disciplined and they will fulfill the will of God. The second part of the pasuk describes the tzvakov, which means those celestial spheres up in Shamayim, and the pasuk describes them as Misharsav Osei Ritzono. They will fulfill the will of God, and it ends with Baruch Nafshias Hashem. So David HaMelech is describing not only the song of the angels, but also the song of the spheres in heaven. Each sphere has its own life force, which might be a kind of a divine, a governor over each particular planet or constellation, and they're singing praises to Hashem. And David is very excited about this because he realizes that if they're singing praises to Hashem and they are called Misharsav Osei Ritzono, then it means that that they accept and acknowledge God to be above the mazalos. That God ultimately is the power over all the astrological figures and mazel, and therefore David says, thank you God, because I believe that you are great, you are above all these influences. I will pray to you directly and expect that you will hearken to my prayers and I'll be able to rise above my mazel. And once again, I don't know if David HaMelech sang this praise the minute he was born. I have a suspicion that it was when he was a little bit more mature. But he right? I mean, he's just emphasizing that already at the point of birth, he's under the influences of the mazalos, but the mazalos themselves are acknowledge the greatness of God. Yonak Mishtei Imo, now he's nursing, Nistakel Bidodeo, and he sees something wonderful. The Omar Shira, why? What's so wonderful? Shenemar Baruch Nafshis Hashem V'al Tishkechi Kol Gmulav. Gmulav is a word that refers to weaning, and that means to nursing. And my Kol Gmulav, What is so special that David HaMelech says, again, you and I could have said that the specialness is the fact that a woman, a mother, has the ability to nurse a child, to give the child everything the child needs. That's an amazing miracle. But David says, no, there's something even more special over here. Because here, David becomes aware of the difference between the human species and all the animals that walk in the animal kingdom. Omar Rabbi Avo, what was the nature of David's shvach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Sha'asol adadim b'makom bina. That as opposed to the animals who are fed from underneath the body in a place where the animal, very close to where the animal has to excrete its feces and so forth, here the human being is given the opportunity not to look at those filthy places, but rather to look at the place of bina. That's called makom bina because the breasts are over the heart, and the heart is the mishkan of bina, and that means that the human being is being endowed with intelligence, with something that makes him superior above and beyond the animal kingdom. Time of my, why is this something that's so unique? Omer of Yehuda, Kidei shelo yistakel b'makom erva, or Rav Matana Omer, Kidei shelo yinak b'makom atinofes. In other words, in the other animals, the location of the dadim, you know, the udders from which the animal sucks its milk, is very close to the makom erva, the place for reproduction. Or alternatively, it's very close to the place, as we said before, which is called Tinofes, where the excrements go out. So here is a chance for the baby to get close to its mother in the place of Bina, the place of the heart, which is the seat of Bina. That's number three. Now we're up to number four. Rav Mapaltan Shel Rishoyim. He sees the downfall of the evildoers, the Omar Shira. And where do we see this? Yitamu chatoim min ha'aretz v'rishoim odeinam. Baruch Hinafshi es Hashem haluluka. Again, the Baruch Hinafshi and the Shira is because of the downfall of the evildoers. Again, even though we don't pray for their downfall, but it really depends who they are. If they're Jewish people that have the potential to do tshuva, in the case of our adversaries who are trying to kill us, we only can thank Hashem enough when these adversaries are destroyed. And finally, the last and perhaps the most strange or paradoxical of all his periods of life for which he thanks God is Nistakel B'Yoma Misa, B'Yoma Shira. He foresaw the day of death, and he sang the praise of Hashem. Shenemar Baruch Hinafshi Es Hashem, Hashem Elokai, Gadalta Mi'od, Hod V'Hodo Levashta. Now, where in this pasuk does it say anything about death? The whole thing is about the greatness of God, and David HaMelech becomes aware of the greatness of God, and it's called Gadalta Mi'od, you're absolutely, endlessly great. And this is supposed to be meant as a reference to the Yom HaMisa. So the Gemara immediately asks, "My mashma, the Al Yom HaMisa Nemar, where do you see any indication that this is referring to the day of death?" Omar Rabba Barav Shila, Misefa Dinyana. We have to look a little bit further at the end of this chapter. This is chapter 104. And there it says, Tastir Parnecha Yibahelun. When you cover yourself, you hide, then immediately the person, Yibahelun, he's in a state of Behola, he's overwhelmed, he's in a state of fear. When is that moment? Tosef Rucham Yigvon, Velafaram Yeshuvun. And this is a description of the end of a person's life. But Chazal tell us that the very next pasuk speaks about Tchiyas HaMeisim. So what is it about the day of death that is so special in the eyes of David that he recites this unique kind of shira, which is called Baruch Hinafshias Hashem. So once again, turning to the Marsha, who's the super commentary on Agadata, he says the following, that B'eshe Tastir Panecha, at the moment at the end of a person's life, when God, so to speak, hides himself, a person feels behola and pachad. However, there's something unique about that moment. Tzadikim smechim. Why the tzadikim in a state of simcha? First of all, because they're about to reach the ultimate eternal world where they'll get rewarded. But moreover, Chazal teach us that as much as a person tries to understand the Almighty during the course of his life, he never reaches the level of appreciating what we call Gadalta Miod, the greatness of God. When is Gadalta Miod? When does man have a little bit of a clue as to when God's ultimate greatness? That's right before he dies. And this is based on a Yushalmi. The Yushalmi says that before a person dies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mara letzadikim kolim misosam, he shows them, he reveals something to them that's unique, something that belongs to the eternity of the world of Olam Haba. V'ikar chelkom lahasogas haborim, they get a foreshpice, if you will, of that comprehension of God that they're going to have when they are disembodied spirits. The Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuvah Perek Ches that ultimately in the world to come we'll have a tremendous perception of Almighty God. And during the physical life of a person, he's finite. Man cannot have this perception. But 1 minute before he dies, God allows man to rise above the physicality, and he gets a little bit of a glimpse of Hashem Gadalta Miod, of the greatness of God and the eternity and the infinity of the divinity. And that's what David HaMelech is praising God for, this Yom HaMisa. How long can you stay? I mean, you have a little time?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So we'll try to go another 15 minutes or so. Yeah. And then I'll go to Bab Meir. Rav Simi, or some say it's Rav Shimi, Bar Ukva, the Amrile Mar Ukva, others say it was Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva is famous for the statement in Chulin about his father, that his father used to wait 24 hours between Fleishiks and Milchiks. Anyway, Havishchiah Kabei to Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. He was a student of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, who was the Masada Agadata. And he, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, would organize the Agadata, Kamei to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in front of the great Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and that's where they got the final okay as to how to organize the Agadata. So Omar Le, so Rav Simi or Mar Ukva turns to Rav Shimon ben Pazi, my Siv, can you give me an insight on the pasuk Baruch Hinafshias Hashem v'chol kravai eshem kodsho? In other words, why does the pasuk say kol kravai, referring, so to speak, to the kishkis of a person? And what's the emphasis here on kirbayim, on kravai? Omar leh. So Rav Shimon ben Pazi responds, this is an allusion, and David is praising God for this, to the ultimate power of God in creation. Bo re'eg, shalom k'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midas basar v'dam. Midas basar v'dam, the human being, tsar, tsur, al gabi hakosel, if he creates an image on a wall, for example, if he's an artist, eino yochel ha'atel baruach u'neshama, kravayim ubnei me'ayim. He cannot make it into a living being. He can't add a spirit to it, or a soul, or the insides. HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino ken. But God, tsar tzura betof tzura, he creates man inside another person, inside, in this case, the mother. So it's the fetus inside its mother's womb. Matel baruach, and he injects into this fetus a spirit, neshama, a soul, kravayim, whatever it takes for him, all the organs of the body to function, ubnei me'ayim, and of course, his intestinal system. All of this is an indication of the connection between man's guf, his physicality, and his neshama. And only God in heaven can create that kind of a chibur, a being who has both neshama and guf integrated into one personality, into one entity. We learn a lot from Chana's praise to God in her song of praise after she brings Shaul to the Mishkan of Shiloh. Ein kadosh kashem ki ein viltecha v'ein tzur kelotenu. Now, what does it mean? You've said that there's no one as holy as God. He's the holiest being. There's no other being besides him. And then you say, "Ain't sur kelokeinu." It sounds like you're going down a little bit. It's anticlimactic. There's no rock like God. My ain't sur kelokeinu. Read it as ain't sayar kelokeinu. He's the greatest artist because he can create something inside something else and inject it with neshama, kirbayim, and mayayim. And Maya, once we're learning this pasuk, what does it mean? Ki ein viltecha. I mean, you've already told me ein kadosh kashem. God is the holiest. What's ein viltecha? Om Rabbi Yehuda ben Menasya, al tikri ki ein viltecha el ein livaloscha, which means that you, God, don't disintegrate with the passage of time. Shalom kamidas hakadosh baruch hu midas basa v'dam midas basa v'dam. Whatever man creates, he's an artisan, is Maisi Yadov Mevalino. So with the passage of time, these creations, will still remain alive even after you die. Long after the artist dies, you can look at Rembrandt, he's gone 5 centuries ago. But his paintings live on. But our Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's just the opposite. Whatever he creates will disintegrate way before God, because God is Kayim Li'olam Void, Ein Biltecha, Ein Levaloscha. Amalei, another question which Rav Simi asked to Rav Shimon ben Pazi. He says the following: I was wondering about the pasuk Kol Kravai. Ano Hachika Mina Lecha. You thought I was asking you a question about the words, what does it say there? Just give me a second here. Baruch Hashem Kol Kravai Hashem Kodesho. Just 1 second here. Just what was he? So Rav Simi says that I didn't mean to ask you a question about. Oh, I see. V'chol Kravai. I wasn't asking you a question about Bechol Kravai, which you gave me the answer to, but I know Hachikam. This was my question. Hani Chamisha Barchi Nafshi Kenegin Mi Amar and David. We found that 5 sections of Tehillim, 5 Psalms, begin with Barchi Nafshi. And what is the significance of the number 5? Does number 5 correspond to any unit of 5? And Rav Shimon ben Pazi responds, Lo amaran ela keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'keneged HaNeshama, that these 5 are similar to the Neshama of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which has a certain similarity, and that's the first of the 5, to the Neshama of a human being. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu mole kol ha'olam. Just like God, in a sense, is the neshama of the entire universe, is af neshama, so too the neshama of a human being, malea kol haguf, it gives life to the entire body. Uma HaKadosh Baruch Hu roa v'eino nireh, he can see, but we don't see him. Af neshama roa v'eino nireh, the neshama perceives everything that's going on, but she cannot be seen. And number 3, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu zonis kol olam kulo, God is the sustainer of the entire universe. Af neshama zonas kol haguf. the neshama of a person sustains the guf, because as soon as the neshama leaves, the guf will die. I have here a note. He writes that the kolchol azunas haguf af shelo yidei machal mishta, that the greatness of the neshama is that it can give vitality, it can give life to the human body even without a man eating or drinking. And that is mikoch hashpa'ash mekabelas miziv tainug hasaga. That just like Moshe Rabbeinu was able to live for 40 days and 40 nights without any physical sustenance because the neshama kept him alive, that's what we learn about the power of the neshama, that the neshama can keep alive a person even without eating and drinking. And that's the greatness of a neshama. She's zona es kol haguf. Zona means she sustains the guf in such a way that she could be a replacement for physical sustenance of eating and drinking. Now we finally get to number four. Makadosh Baruch Hu Tahar. God represents the paradigmic purity. Af neshama tahora, so too the neshama of a person is pure. Umakadosh Baruch Hu, the last one, Yoshe Bechadri Chadorim. Somewhere God is in the inner chambers, within the inner chambers. Af neshama Yosheves Bechadri Chadorim. Now, if we're talking about the fact that the neshama cannot be seen, then we've already mentioned that, then there's no need for repetition. And earlier we said, Haneshama Eino Nires. So what's he adding now when he says that the neshama is in Chadre Chadorim? And the Marsha tries to explain this. He says that the neshama, even though it fills up the entire goof, and therefore all the Eivarim are filled up, there are some Eivarim that may not be clean, but nevertheless the Neshama remains Tahora. And that's what we're saying here, Bechadrei Chadorim, that somehow the Neshama is able to be on the one hand all over the body, giving life to the whole body, but yet it still remains in its purity state, Bechadrei Chadorim. And Yavo Mi, now we understand David HaMelech, when he recites Baruch Inafshi five times, Yavo Mishi Yeshbo Chamisha Dvarim Alolu. In other words, all of these descriptions of the neshama of man will apply to me, says David HaMelech. I have all these five. V'yishabech, and I will praise L'mishi Yeshbo Chamisha Dvarim Alolu, because God in each case is the paradigm of all this greatness. Amar Rav Hamnuna, what is the meaning of the pasuk in Koheles? Mi kehechacham umi odea pesha dovar. Who is like the wise man and who knows how to figure this all out? And al pipshat, the meaning of this pasuk is, who's considered more chashuv? Is it the chacham, or someone who knows how to solve riddles? Mi kakodesh baruch hu sheyodea lasos pshaga Bein Shnei Tzadikim, Bein Chizkiyo Yishayo. In the background to this whole sugya is the fact that Chizkiyo needed to ask Yishayo, an Eitzah, whether or not he was okay by not getting married. We'll see in a minute why he didn't want to get married. And the question is, who would come to whom? Yishayo needed to give Musar to Chizkiyo. Chizkiyo Amar Leisa Yishayo Gabai. I would like to wait for Yishayo. I think it would be appropriate for him to come to me. Dehochi Ashkechan Belio. We find a precedent in Elio. The Ozal Legabe Achav, that he, the Novi, went to the front of Achav the king. Shenemar, as it says, Vayelech Elio Leheraos El Achav. So therefore it's appropriate for Yishayo to come to me. Yishayo, on the other hand, Yishayo argued, Leise Chizkiyo Legabai, Dohochi Ashkan B'Yehoram Ben Achav. Yehoram was the king, and yet the Ozal Legabi Elisha, he went to see Elisha when he needed Elisha. And Yehoram Ben Achav, who was the Melech Bisrael, Yehoshaphat was the Melech Yehuda, and the Melech of Edom was fighting a battle against Moab, and they were left without water. And when they found out that the Navi Elisha was to be found, was somewhere in the neighborhood, they went to the kings and they told them what was going on. And since it was since there was this this was machlokes here, who should come to who, they never, at the end of the day, no, this one didn't go to him, vice versa. So Yishayo never gave tochacha to Chizkio on the fact that he didn't get married. Me'osa Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu created some sort of a compromise. Hevi Yisurim al Chizkio. Chizkio was suffering from illness. God turns to Yishayo and he says, Lech uvaker sachola. You have a mitzvah of bikur cholim. How could you not fulfill that mitzvah? Now the reason why HaKadosh Baruch had to command Yishayo on bikur cholim, why didn't he know it himself, it's a mitzvah of bikur cholim, is because mitzvah Talmud Torah is considered more chashuv. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. In any event, Shenemar, it says in Yishayo Anovi, Vayomim Ahem, Cholach Hizkio Lamus, he was very, very ill, deathly ill. Vayomim Elio Elov, Yishayo Ben Amotz Hanavi, Vayomim Elov, Ko Amar Hashem, Tzav Lebeischa, Ki Meisata, Velo Sichye. Very nice speaker, Cholam here. Yishayo Anovi tells Hizkio that he's going to die. Let your family know. My ki meisatav lo sichya, why the double language? You will die and you won't live. Meisatav olam azev lo sichya olam abba. You've lost your share in this world and in the next world. Amalei maikuli hai. What exactly am I being punished for? What aver did I do? Amalei bishum de lo asakta b'piriyav arivya. You never got married. And that's a terrible sin, not to be mekayim the mitzvah of piriyav arivya. And the Marsha points out that there's a proof from the Psukim that after he got sick, he did get married, because Menashe, who began to take over the reins of the kingship when he was all of 12 years old, as recorded in Malachim Beis, Perkof Aleph, Chizkiah, it was added to his life another 15 years. So it means that Menashe was born to Chizkio during that 15-year period, the extra year, 15 years of Chizkio's life. And Chizkio, when he said Maikuli Hai, he didn't understand that because he wasn't Osik Periviri, he's Chayev, that he should give up his Olam Abba. And perhaps the answer is that David left a Ben Kamoso, and therefore it says Shechiva by David. Yoav didn't leave a Ben Kamoso. It doesn't say Shechiva by Yoav. Chizkio didn't leave any children at all. Then for sure, it wouldn't say Shechiva. And it's as if he was Mesel Olam Abba. But Chizkio had a counter argument. He saw Beruach HaKodesh that he was going to have Boli Lomali. He's going to have children that aren't fit. And therefore, even if he'll be Osik B'Piri Vivya, nevertheless, Lo Iniach Ben Kamohu, what good would it be if he wants to get into Olam Abba? Amalei, Chizkio explains to Yishayo to justify himself, Bishum Dechazoyli Beruach HaKodesh, it was presented to me with Ruach HaKodesh, the Nafik Minai Bonin Delomala, that my children would not be on the right path. Amalei, so this is one of the most famous statements in all the Agadot Shas. Yishayo responds to Chizkio, Bahadi Kavshi Derachmona Lomali. In other words, why are you going into the secrets of God? That's none of your business. May the mefaktis iboy lecha lemevad. You were commanded in the midst of Periviria no less than anyone else. Don't try to come up with hitchak muyot. You know, it's you decided, well, you saw Baruch HaKodesh. Umay denicha kavi de kutshabrichu lav. So God will do whatever he sees fit in your eyes. In his eyes, you have to do what you have to do. And that's the mitzvah that's incumbent upon you. So the tochach of Yishayo was on the fact that here Chizkio was looking into Tavi and Mitzvahs. He understood that the purpose is to get children who will be over the Hashem, and if that's the purpose of the mitzvah, here for sure there's no Kima Mitzvah in bringing children that are not going to be over the Hashem. And Yishayo says to him, you know what? the mitzvos are obligatory. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's His will. And you'll never really understand why. And God doesn't expect you to figure out why and then come up to the conclusion, well, in this case, you're not chayav the mitzvah. So even if we fool ourselves into thinking that we understand the reason of the mitzvahs, we have to know that the reason of the mitzvahs is beyond us. And that's Bahari Kavshi Derachmano Lomali. Again, we're not denying that Chizkiyahu was correct. He had this Ruach HaKodesh. He would have Bonim, She'enam, Mehuganim. But nevertheless, there's always a possibility of tshuva, and you have to do what you have to do. This is your obligation. Omalei, Chizkiyahu turns to Yishayahu and he says, Hashta, now I have to marry off my son. Havli Bratoch. Give me your daughter to marry my son. Efsha, perhaps the influence of your daughter as tzadekes, the garmas chusa di dey dididach, maybe she'll be, well you'll have the there'll be a double schus here. There'll be your schus because this is your daughter, and it'll be my son is my schus. V'nafik minai bonin demale, and maybe that at the end of the day there will be children that are upstanding children. Amalei Yishayahu responds, "Kfar nigzo lecha gzera, it's too late now. I can't marry off my daughter to you, to your son, because you're going to die, and that's it." Ooh, now he touched on a sensitive nerve. Amalei Chizkiyahu says to Yishayahu, "If that be the case, then Ben Amotz, he doesn't even have the give him the cover to call him by his first name." He says, "Kalei nevuascha v'tzei." There's nothing, terminate your nevuah right now. There's nothing you can add to your nevuah. Get out of here. You are undermining the very essence of what we understand to be a gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what a Navi is supposed to do. Kach mekublani mi beis avi abba. This is what I heard from my grandfather, David HaMelech. Afilu cherev chada munachas al tzavar shel adam. Even if there's a sharp sword that's hanging over a person's head, over his neck, al yimna atzman rachamim, he should continue to be mispalel. It means that there's no point of no return. There's always a chance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rescind the gzera and save man. And in Divrei HaYomim, the pasuk says that David saw a malach who was standing between Shamayim v'aretz. His cherev was extended onto Yerushalayim to punish him on the fact that that was the guilty sin that he counted Klal Yisrael, the census. And nevertheless, David HaMelech was mispalel, and it says, Vayipol David vazkenim al pneim, and the gzera was rescinded. And Chizkiyahu and Yishayahu had a machlokes between Amoraim, where the tefillah is meaningful after the gzar din, Ayin Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches. It's possible that Chizkiyahu HaMelech held that with regard to a melech, since he represents the entire tzibur, then his tshuva would be meaningful, and his tefillah would be meaningful even after the gzar din, insofar as he embodies all of Klal Yisrael. Besof, at the end, just one second, Idmar Nami, we learned also the base medrash that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozo, the Amri Shavai, they both agreed. Afilu cherev chadam menochas al tzavar shalom ayimna atzma menorachmim shenemar. The source for this apostle in Eov, Perek Yud Gimel, Hein yiktaleni lo ayachel. Which means, even if it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to kill me, yiktaleni, nevertheless, I'm still miyachel, I still beg, I still put forth all my supplications and my prayers that Hashem should save me from death. L'basof, at the end of the story, Yoev Lebrate, Yishayahu agreed to give his daughter to the son of... Sorry, I stand corrected here, I made a little boo-boo, you're right. It means that Chizkiyahu would take the hand of the daughter of Yishayahu in marriage. So correct what I said earlier. I don't know how to change the recording, but you'll know that it means that Chizkiyahu was never married, and now he marries the daughter of Yishayahu. I would have loved to have been at that wedding. It must have been a Leibed Kechasana. Nafik Minei Menashe V'Rav Shkaya. The two sons that were born from this marriage were Menashe and Rav Shake. Who are these people? Well, not good news. Yom Achada, on one particular day, Chizkiyahu took them, these two children, the youngsters, Hakatfei, and he put them on his shoulders, and he lamtuyeh lebeit midrash to bring them to the Beis HaMedrash. And now Chizkiyahu overhears the discussion going on above him between his two children. Omar Chadina, one turns to the other one, he says, Chazi Reisha Da'aba Lemitfei Bei Gildoi. The head of our father is wide enough that we can actually fry small fish, which are called gildoloi. In other words, this person who's taking us to Beis Medrash, there's no purpose to this. It's useless, because it's like getting involved in things that are small in value. V'chadom, and the other one had his own mashal, and he said, Chazi Reisha Diab, I see my father's head, La Kruve Alei Avodah Zarah. It's like wide enough to be a Mizbeach, an altar for Avodah Zarah. So now we see that the Ruach HaKodesh that Chizkiyahu had about his sons was absolutely true. He was so overwhelmed with anger that Havtinu Bi'ara, he threw them off his shoulders and he smashed them onto the ground. The Gemara says, Menashe Chaya, somehow Menashe survived it. Rav Shake Meis, he died because of the impact of the fall. Koriya Nafshe, and at this point in his depressed state, Chizkiyahu called about himself a pasuk again in Yeshayahu HaNavi, V'chilai Kelav Roim. And Kilai means a person who measures everything in this world with a measurement, a midah, and never adds to that. In other words, his eye is very stingy. He never, you know, whatever he has to give, but not a dime more. And his kelim, the utensils that he uses, are ra'im upagumim. They're not reliable at all. That's what it says, Kilei Kelav Roim. And here's where Chizkiyahu is referring to himself with this mashal. He says that he behaved like a Kili, which means Lo Nasa Isha. He didn't want to spend any money on a wife or share his possessions. He was like a stingy person. Vegam Kelav, and even his utensils, which means the woman that he finally married, and he depended upon her, and he put all his faith in her, that she would have the schus of her father, the Navi, and yet, Yatsu mihem bonim she'enam mehuganim. This is what they ended up with. Omer Rav Chanan, afilu bal ha-chalomos, even the malach who's in charge of the chalomos, and that's based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf lamid, even he, omer lo li'odim lamachu mes, even if he tells a person that tomorrow he's going to die, nevertheless, says Rav Chanan, al yimna atzmo min harachamim, he should not curtail his tefilos. Shenemar, as it says in Koheles, in the fifth perek, ki barov chalomos vavolim udvarim harbe ki es elokei halokim yirah, which means the famous statement of Koheles that a person should not be afraid of all these dreams that he has, because most of these dreams are just simply hevel, they're meaningless, they're vanities. And afilu mi'utam, even the small amount of chalomos that really come from a malach who has a great mila, he shouldn't even be afraid of that, because it's in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch to be mevatel and to undermine any decree that he sees in the chalom. Rashi has a slightly different interpretation, and he says that even though most of the chalomos come through a shade, but you never know, maybe this chalom came through a malach, and therefore he should definitely be mispalel and figure out what's going on. Now, as soon as Chizkiyahu realizes what happened in his life, and he sees that it's a cherev chada munachas al tzavoro, miyad he says, "Vayasev Chizkiyahu panav lakir vayispalel Hashem." It seems to me that the Gemara now is turning back a little bit in history, and this is the moment before the Navi came in and spared Chizkiah at the point where the Navi told Chizkiah that the decree had been sealed. He, Chizkiah, had forfeited his place both in this world and in the next world. Vayasev Chizkiah panav el akir vayispalel Hashem el Hashem. Chizkiah turns to God to be mevatel this terrible gzeirah. And what is kir? What is the meaning of the word kir? So Gemara has two opinions. Omer Rav Shimon ben Lakish, mikiros libo, from, so to speak, the walls of his heart. In other words, he had a sincere outcry, an impassioned plea to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have compassion on him and be mevatel gzeirah. And we find a similar language in the case of Yirmiyahu. Shenemar, it says by Yirmiyahu in the fourth chapter of Jeremiah, that when he finds out through Nevuah that the Oyev, the enemy, is going to in the future is going to come and rise up against Yerushalayim in battle, and may I ochila kiros libi, and the insides will cry out with a sincere prayer, Homel li libi lo achrish ki kol shofar shamat nafshi truas melchama. Kir is a lashon of kiras libo, kiros libo. Rav Levi Amari has a different take on al iski akir, that we're talking about some sort of a kir. Which kir are we talking about? Amar lefanov. He turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he says to him, Ma hashunam shelo osa el kir achas ktano. She structured one small, humble wall that would separate the ulam into two parts so the Elisha would have a place to rest. And yet you took her dead son and brought her back to life because of that schus of the kir. Avi Abba, which means Shlomo Melech, Shechipo Asahechol, Kulo Kesef Vizov. He put a layer of gold and silver all around the Beis HaMikdash and the Heichal. The Alachas Kavakame, much more so, should that schus help save me from the Onish Misa. Let's take a look at another piece in the Tefillah of Chizkiyahu, and that's where we'll end it. Zechar na, Vayomer ano Hashem, Zechar na es asher salachti lufanecha b'emes, b'lev shalem, v'atov b'necha sisi. He puts forth his entire credentials, all the good things that he did, and he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'atov b'necha sisi, didn't I do everything that's good in your eyes, that's favorable in your eyes, and therefore save me, repeal the decree. My, what is the meaning of Atov Beinecha Sisi, I did what's ever good in your eyes? He already had said that he had walked in the ways of Hashem, the Emes Ubelev Sholem, which means he was Mekayim, all of the commands and the mandates of God. So what is he adding here, Atov Beinecha Sisi? Om Rav Yehuda, Om Rav, Shesomach Yehul Tfila Kivasikim. According to one opinion, when he recited Kriya Shema, he's very careful to immediately begin Shmonesre at Hanetzachama. And Rav Levi Omar, Rav Levi says, Dovra Tov is what? Shagonaz Sefer Arafuos. And we'll have a long discussion now about the Sefer Arafuos, what it was and why. The Chacham were very excited. They approved the fact that Chizkiyahu got rid of the Sefer Arafuos. So we'll stop here.